welcome to episode 8 of Secret Grasp. Secret Grasp is a podcast all about the mysterious and difficult to explain aspects of life. We cover topics relating to the paranormal, occult, conspiracy theories, urban legends, and other strange occurrences. You can find us on all of the major podcasting apps, and all of our links are available on our website at secretgrasp.com. If you're liking the show, don't forget to go to the website and sign up for the mailing list, just in case we ever do get deplatformed from the rather centralized podcasting distributors. I promise not to spam your email or give it to any third parties. Go do that or check us out on some more censorship-resistant platforms like BitChute, Odyssey, or Rumble. So, in this episode, we're going to be talking about astral projection as well as out-of-body experiences. Some people would kind of conflate the two things. I would really say that they're two separate phenomena. So, first I'll kind of go into out-of-body experiences. So, it's pretty much what it sounds like. It's an experience where you feel like you've been separated from your body. The most common or obvious example of an out-of-body experience is probably the near-death experience. You've probably heard of somebody that's experienced this before. Lots of people report feeling like they're floating above their bodies, looking down on themselves after car accidents, near drownings, surgeries where their vitals flatline, or other kind of traumatic and life-threatening events. And if out-of-body experiences are real, then it would seem to point to the fact that people have a soul or a spirit that can operate and exist independent of the body. An out-of-body experience can also happen from a lack of sleep, dehydration, brain injuries, and other extreme medical distress, as well as they can be drug-induced. Sometimes you can even have them while falling asleep completely normally, or even from sensory deprivation. So people would say that it's like it could just be a normal phenomenon that happens in the brain to kind of help you cope with the fact that you're dying or something. I think people say that DMT gets released in your brain when you're dying, and that might kind of trigger these weird out-of-body experiences. So how do we know if out-of-body experiences are real or if people are just dreaming? So there's actually some accounts from people seeing things when they're out of the body that they shouldn't be able to see. For example, you might have an out-of-body experience and see a piece of paper on top of a bookshelf. Despite the fact that you didn't know it was there, you can see it and you can even recall what's on the paper once you become conscious again. Or say if you were like in the hospital and you floated up out of the hospital and then you imagined yourself looking down and say you could see like a helicopter pad or something and you knew the color of the helicopter that was there if it wasn't something normal that you would be able to see from the ground, stuff like that, that kind of sort of independently verifies possibly that these people are actually out of their body. Basically having information that they shouldn't be able to know any other way. And while out-of-body experiences tend to be spontaneous or accidental, there is a way to intentionally induce an out-of-body experience, and that's what I would call astral projection. So basically, you can lay down and keep your mind alert while your body goes to sleep, and you can actually separate from your body this way. And it's also important to note that astral projection is distinctly different from lucid dreaming. So a lucid dream is when you're dreaming, but you're aware that you're dreaming. So this allows you to take control of your dream and basically do whatever you want inside the dream. Astral projection practitioners will assert that their phenomenon is real and actually occurring in the real world, not in a dream state. And some people claim to be able to visit locations or even meet up with other people in an astral dream state. And although, so astral projection can happen in the real world, but another aspect of astral projection is that you can also go to what's known as the astral plane, basically an alternate dimension. I first heard about astral projection in my early teens. I don't know how I got onto it. Actually, I do. I kind of joined an online cult, and one of the courses was all about astral projection. Maybe I'll go into like a whole history of my like spiritual paranormal experiences and how I came to all the conclusions that I did one day. But basically, yeah, I think I did that. And then I came across a book called, what was the original one? Is it just called Out of Body Experiences by Robert A. Monroe? I think so. And then there's one called Far Journey. And then there's a third book called Ultimate Journey. Is the first book just called Out of Body Experiences? Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Anyways, that book's pretty crazy. He goes into, so it's this guy, he was like a normal American businessman. Everything was going fine. And then he started having these like spontaneous astral projection, out of body experience kind of things. So he would just lay down. It's basically like three books worth of crazy stories about all this stuff. So he would run into these things he called negative entities. So when you're astral projecting, there's like weird negative entities and like demons and stuff out there that can kind of get you. They can't really get you because basically you can always come back to your body. When people are astral projecting, they believe that they're connected to their body by this silver cord. As long as you're alive, there's this like basically unbreakable silver cord, basically from your belly button in your physical body, and it connects to your astral body. And I don't even remember everything in that book. There's like so much stuff. Some of it is just kind of mundane, like floating above his body and seeing himself at first. And then I feel like it goes way off the deep end to like exploring these totally different astral realms that are nothing like real life. I don't know if they're completely legit. I would take it with a grain of salt. It kind of reminds me of, there's another trilogy called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, I think. Neil Donald Walsh. And he basically, that's basically like three books of just channeling quote unquote God, he says, and like asking himself questions and then God answers through him. That's what Robert Monroe's books kind of remind me of. They kind of get a bit nuts after a while, but the first book's good. I probably wouldn't buy the second or the third one, but that's a good starter book. It doesn't necessarily teach you the how-to. It's more like a catalog of his experiences while astral projecting. Astral projection is also pretty common in like Wicca and witchcraft. Aside from concentration, one of the big things is they'll like concentrate and focus on a candle. And the other thing is early on, you probably learn about astral projection. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of different religions and schools of thought that deal with astral projection. But I'll tell you, if you want to try it for yourself, the way that I did it, so there's a number of different techniques that you can try to find online, but I'll just tell you what I'm most familiar with using myself. So basically it starts with like a relaxation exercise. So I would tense and relax every muscle group in my body, starting at my toes all the way up to my scalp. So you take it slowly and you like hold each muscle group for a few seconds really tight and then let it go and let all the tension go away. So you start at like, let's say you wiggle your toes and squeeze them real tight, and then do like your ankles and your calves, thighs, and like your butt, all those muscles. And like your abs, and then up to your chest. Then start at like your fingers and go all the way up your arms, and then pay a special attention to your shoulders and your neck and your face. That's where a lot of people hold lots of tension. Even in like the top of your head, you might not realize that you're actually like pulling a lot of muscles on your head and your face tight all the time. So basically you do that. You tense and release all the muscles in your body. I would go through and do that two times. Something that I also liked is I would imagine my body basically filling with like water or cement or something from my legs all the way up to my head, and imagining that it kind of relaxes me as I go. That also works, and it also kind of makes you stay still. So once you've done that relaxation, you basically want to lay perfectly still, and you're trying to keep your mind awake while not really thinking of anything and let your body go to sleep. So just kind of focus on the sensations of your body, and then after a while, some weird stuff starts to happen, I would say. Maybe at like the 5 minute mark, definitely at the 10 or 15 minute mark. So the first thing that I would normally notice is all kinds of different shapes and colors flashing on the insides of my eyelids. This is kind of cool to watch on its own, so you can do that just for that experience if you want. I think if you're in a light room, it's more of an issue because, I don't know, when I'm in like a shaded or dark room, my eyelids are black, but I find if there's a lot of sun in the room, you'll find that your eyelids are actually like red inside. You're almost seeing the light through the blood in your eyelids, if that makes sense. So I think you could do it. I usually did this when I was a teenager, laying down in the afternoon on my bed, and it wasn't a problem. I think you could do it in light, but if the red color of the inside of your eyelids is distracting you, then I'd say close some curtains or something, or do it at night. So there's the weird shapes and colors in your eyelids, and then if you go long enough, you might start to notice a buzzing or a hissing sound inside your head. As far as I can tell, this is actually, so when you go to sleep, what I've observed is that your senses actually shut down one by one, and I think your hearing is one of the first ones to go, so you'll actually, this buzzing or hissing noise is like your hearing actually shutting down, and then eventually you'll like stop being able to move, which is sleep paralysis, and then you'll stop feeling your physical body and stuff like that. Once you go through that, then you get to what I think is one of the more unnerving sensations, which I call vibrations. I think I've always heard them referred to as vibrations online, but what those are, it'll start to feel like, how can I describe it? It's like your body is in a bartender mixer cup, and your soul or your spirit is like the drink inside of it getting mixed up and down. So imagine that your body is like shaking, and you know, like your soul is like slamming up and down inside. That's what it feels like, I guess. Or what it sounds like. It's just like vibrations. So it's like really strong vibrations. You'll think that there's like an earthquake happening in your room or something the first time you feel it. And at first it'll probably scare you so much that it breaks your concentration and it ruins your progress. You'll just immediately wake up and that'll be it. You can start again, or you might just call it quits for that day. Even after dozens of astral projection attempts, it would still start my heart beating faster and breathing. Like my breathing and heart rate would go up, and that would basically ruin it for me. So you have to kind of overcome that fear of it, and I think the only way that you can really do that is by going through it and feeling these vibrations enough that either you realize nothing is going to happen or that it's a normal part of the process. And if you can stay calm through those vibrations, eventually you get to a point where it starts to feel like you're separating from your body, and at that point there's really two techniques that you can use. Either you can try and roll out of your body, or you can try and sit up. It's really hard to explain, though. So it's like you're trying to sit up with only your astral body, which is like your spirit or your soul or whatever. So it's really hard to balance between lifting your astral body out of your body versus overexerting, in which case you'll move your actual physical body, and that will also completely wake your body up and ruin everything. So that's a hard balance too. You might physically sit up not knowing at first. You might think that you're like trying to get just your astral body out, but your physical body will sit up too. Or you can try and move your astral body and you won't do it hard enough. and nothing will happen. So it's kind of a fine line to walk. You'll have to figure that out. My own experience, I tried astral projection off and on for years and years, but there's probably a good several months as a teenager that I did it like every afternoon for like a couple weeks or months. And admittedly, I never actually made it out of my body, so this is all kind of theoretical for me. Although I did end up feeling those vibrations pretty much every time I tried it. And I also had a couple weird experiences where I felt like I was in almost a trance-like state or something akin to sleep paralysis. But yeah, that's astral projection in a nutshell. There's actually like a lot to say about this topic, and I think there's even like a whole kind of different categorization of the universe. So there's like the astral body, and then I think there's like a causal body above that. That would be like the sixth dimension. People have all these crazy theories about so we're in the third dimension, and then there's something in the fourth dimension. I forget what it is. And then maybe it's just time. I don't know. And then the astral dimension is like 5, and then it goes up to like 12, and I don't even know the crazy stuff that goes on up there. And then there's, so people do all these kinds of things in this, like, I guess, cult organization, which I don't know if I should name. I'll save that for a future episode. People would actually astral project, and then they would try and meet up in weird places. Like, they would go to the pyramids in the astral plane and meet with all the people in the course there on the pyramids or on the moon or just like in space, crazy stuff. I guess the cool thing about astral projection too is that you can go anywhere, so you don't need to breathe because you're not in a physical body, obviously. So you can go into space, or you can go down into the bottom of the ocean, I guess, although it would still be dark, so I'm guessing you wouldn't see much. But yeah, I guess you could just like go underwater. There's something called the Akashic Records, which is basically like the sum of all human knowledge and all of human history. Is like, I don't know if it's like a library, or it's been so long since I've read about it, but yeah, it's basically like this big thing that you can go to in the astral plane and basically tap into all of human knowledge. There's a lot of stuff to say on the topic, but yeah. So out of body experiences is kind of just like a normal physical phenomenon, and then astral projection is where it goes kind of off the deep end into some really weird paranormal stuff. But yeah, if you want to experience something paranormal for the first time, I do think astral projection is a great place to start. It doesn't really take any practice or knowledge. Basically, all you do is what I've described so far, just lay down and relax and then try not to move for 10 or 15 minutes and see what happens. And it might surprise you. So that's why I'm doing this as kind of one of the early episodes along with Sigil Magic. I'm trying to give you guys practical things that you can try. Even if you're a skeptic, you can try this stuff out, and I think you'll get results, because I've tried a lot of things that didn't work at all. And the stuff that I'm trying to cover early on here, like the astral projection and the Sigil Magic, this is stuff where something weird has happened and I haven't been able to explain it. So I'm hoping you guys will get a similar experience. But that's about it for out-of-body experiences and astral projection that I can think to say for now. So if you've made it this far in the podcast and you're liking it, it'd be really awesome if you could share the podcast with a family member or a friend, or basically anyone that you think would be interested in it. Feel free to share it on social media or like Reddit or wherever you want. And just a reminder that if you have a creepy, strange, or weird real life story that you'd like to share on this show, you can email me, secretgrasp@gmail.com. Or even if you just want to give feedback about the show, whatever, feel free to email me. I had kind of like a backlog of pre-recorded episodes that I had all made. So you've heard this message a lot, and I don't have any actual stories to share on the show yet. But I'm hoping that now that people are actually listening to the show, I'm seeing the stats that the show's actually going out and getting some downloads. So that's really cool. So Hopefully we're going to get some stories coming in soon, and then I can stop bugging you guys every episode about that. But in the next episode, I'm going to be talking about tulpas. If you don't know what that is, you're in for a good one. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening. We'll be in touch soon.